Hello, this is Brian with Wildcat Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And we just dropped a podcast with Adam and Ronnie with Radio Jody, which was excellent. They asked some great questions. His answers were really strong. It was one of the better podcasts that we've cut all year. So definitely tune in. And they cover really just where Arizona is going right into this game, the Hawaii game that is tomorrow. The one thing that they forgot to cover was the Hawaii game that is tomorrow. So I wanted to make sure to put some content on that. And Rob and I had recorded an Arizona Hawaii preview for 12 Pack Radio, and we're just going to put it on here. So it's an abbreviated version. We had done a preview of UCLA. We took that out. This is just that pure, uncut Arizona Hawaii preview that you want in your veins. That's what we're providing right now. And for people that are fans of the Pac-12 Survivor Pool that we did last year, it's coming back. This is the third year. It's one of the most fun things that we've done, one of our most popular contests, and it is open for all of our listeners, and it's free, and the winner gets a $25 gift certificate to StubHub to pay for some sort of Arizona game that you want to go to. So that is the prize. Here is how you enter, and here are the rules. The contest goes like this. You get to pick one Pac-12 team to win their game once a week. That's all you have to do. Pick one game, one team, one game. If they don't even worry about the spread, they just need to win. If they win, you move on to the next week and you get to pick again. If they lose, you are out. Here's the catch. You can only pick each team once in the season. So, right, 12 Pac-12 teams, you have to be really strategic about who you're taking. If you take USC the first game, you don't get to pick them for the rest of the season. You kind of have to figure out where your path is to surviving all 12 weeks. Arizona plays tomorrow. I understand that. Week zero doesn't count. We're going to start on Thursday. So get your picks in by Thursday and we will start. So hopefully everybody will join. It's really fun. We had like 50 people that participated last year. We would love for you to participate. Here's how you do it. You go onto our website, sharpcollegefootball.com. On that website, there is an icon for the Pac-12 Survivor Pool. Just click on that to submit your picks. Last year, if you participated, we were taking picks over the Wildcat Radio Twitter feed. We're not doing that this year. Send your picks through sharpcollegefootball.com. Just go on there and send them. The only other way we will take your pick is if you tweet them at me at 12 Pack Radio, 12PAC Radio. I will take your picks that way. So join. It's really fun. Last thing to mention, if you do not want me to read your name when you lose, I every week on this podcast, we're going to go through all the people that lost. And it will happen all the time. It's really fun. And I will read that your name over the music that they play for the tributes that die in the hit movie, The Hunger Games. So if you don't want me to read your real name, send an avatar. That's it. Join. Have fun. It's a great contest. We would love for you to join and we want to give some money away. But if one of our hosts wins and you don't win, we're not giving anything away. If you're going to climb the mountain, you got to go through the champ first. So, hopefully we win. So, we can spend that on booze or something, but, all right, that's it. Here's our Hawaii and Arizona preview. Hey, can I get some Pac-12 gambling advice up in here? Is William Shatner?
You want it?
Pac-12 gambling lines?
You got it.
Nice.
You want it? Baby, just bust a move.
Okay. Oh, it feels so good. It feels so good to be back, Rob. And only one game to break down this week. Arizona travels all the way across the Pacific Ocean to the beautiful island of Hawaii to play the Rainbow Warriors. And really just an interesting game to start, right? Because Hawaii has an offense, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, Hawaii graded out last season as a decent Power 5 offense. They finished at number 74. So they were, you know, and they were fun. I mean, they run the run and shoot. It's not something, you know, it's not an offense you're going to see most anywhere else, I think, since June Jones isn't coaching in college football anywhere. And Cole McDonald's a good quarterback. Like, he had a good year last year, and a lot of their receivers had good years last year. So they're interesting. I think that this offense can kind of sneak up on people a bit.
The good thing is they have them like week zero. So if Arizona had them, like, I don't know, maybe a team like Oregon State has them their second week, I think that this might be a little bit more of a sneaky game. But I mean, the Cats had the entire offseason to prepare for this offense. Yeah. I don't know if their defense is good enough to, like, you know, I don't know if they were going to be able to emulate the offense that they're going to be playing, but it is nice that they've been able to make this the focus of their offseason because it is so important. Like you mentioned, Rob, Cole McDonald, 3,500 yards, 36 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He also ran for 300 yards on the ground for 4 touchdowns. He's somebody that can really move the ball.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really his running ability added on there that makes him so very dangerous. I mean, he was good through the air. His completion percentage, I mean, particularly like by the run and shoot standards where you almost need to be more like an air raid type QB with your completion percentage, wasn't great. It was, you know, just at 59%. But that additional rushing ability there, because in the run and shoot, you're almost always running 4 wide receivers, you know, sets. So you are spreading the defense out. And if the QB can take off at all, like it's a nasty wrinkle in there.
The spread opened at 13, the Cats favored by 13 on the road. And that line has since moved down to 11, which I think is quite tasty. But I'm curious to hear, Rob, what Bedarank thinks of this matchup, because that's one of the great things that we're able to do is compare different, you know, compare the offenses and defenses and the different personnel. And what do we got?
So this game is interesting. Arizona projects at 60, and we've talked about this a little bit. So this Arizona projection, this is on last year's offense where Khalil Tate was injured almost all year and didn't run. So there's Arizona's projections probably sort of at the lower end of where that offense may finish out in this season. Hawaii comes in projected at number 115.
Oh, my.
They haven't recruited. I mean, it's tough to recruit. Like, it sounds like it shouldn't be tough to recruit to Hawaii, but it is sort of tough to recruit to Hawaii. And in a lot of ways, it's something like it. I think a lot of kids want. I mean, you know, how is your family going to come? You know, afford to come see you play games?
Well, see you in 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, I guess they could see you on the mainland. But Arizona comes in. They've got an 85% win probability in the model, and they had them. The model has that closer to what the original spread opened up at, which is 13.5 for Arizona favored. So while the secret here is that, yes, Hawaii had a decent offense by Power Five standard or by Group of Five standards last season, it would, like, 74 isn't going to do you much good in a Power Five conference, but their defense was really bad last season, grading out at 116, and their special teams were also bad, grading out at 113. So with that, if Arizona is able to move the ball at all against that Hawaii defense, like, you like Arizona's defense's chances on, like, a long field to be able to slow the Hawaii offense down.
I think another thing when you're taking a look at Hawaii's offense, and I don't want to downplay the fact that they can move the ball because they can. It's funny because, like, Marquise Stovall, that Cal 4-star wide receiver, I'm like, oh, he popped up on the roster. I'm like, oh, there he is. I was wondering where that guy went. Yeah. He'll be in the game. So they do have some wide receivers that can move. They have clearly a quarterback who will be the focus of this offense and the focus of everybody that's going to be announcing this game. The one thing to mention, though, is Hawaii started off really strong. I mean, they were dropping 40 burgers basically on every team, and then they hit Wyoming, and I understand Wyoming has a good defense for a Group of Five team. But after that, there was kind of a precipitous drop-off. They basically averaged about 20 points a game rather than 40, and they played BYU, Nevada, Fresno State, Utah State. So those are
all good defenses.
Exactly. Yeah, that was my
point. So if you go through those last season, I mean, and I have the Mountain West ones up already. So Fresno State finished at 14 in the model. Wyoming was 30. Utah State was 31. Nevada, I'm sorry for all Arizona fans that are listening, Jeff Castile's defense was 34. And BYU, I think, graded out in the 50s. So, yeah, like they ran into some solid defenses, and that really slowed them down. I mean, all of those defenses, in fairness, were far better than Arizona's defense, which graded out 86 last season. But the Cats are projected to make a jump. They've got a lot of returning production coming back from last season. Like, they're projected to be at 55 on defense this season, which would be Still not a great Power 5 defense, but like a huge improvement over where they've been.
Yeah, and Arizona released their depth chart, so we'll definitely get into that in just a sec. I do want to focus on the specific matchups here before we go into the players and just kind of highlight that stuff. So do you have the numbers for Hawaii's pass offense and pass defense? Because I know that they were really heavy on the pass. Obviously, you had a dual threat quarterback, but the wide receivers that they have, and I think they bring back two of them, average about 500 yards, not average. They had a net 500 yards each. So this isn't a team that runs the ball a ton between the tackles, right?
No, that's absolutely right. So this Hawaii offense, they graded out number 25 in effective pass. They graded out 116 in effective rush. So, I mean, really, in a lot of ways, it was, I mean, their best running play was often McDonald running the football.
And then flipping that, you know, Arizona brings back a dual threat quarterback of their own. They have a really solid running attack with J.J. Taylor, Gary Brightwell, and even some players behind them. And then kind of an unknown wide receiving core as of now. Now it's a bigger wide receiving core than you've kind of been used to as somebody that's watched Arizona for a while. But still, a core that is unproven, and an offensive line that is probably good. Question mark. I mean, like, this isn't a great offensive line, that's for sure. It's just Kyle DeBand.
I mean, I think last season, this Arizona line, like, we had a lot of questions coming in. They basically, I think they were replacing three starters last season. This season, they bring back three, you know, so they're only replacing two, but they're bringing a lot of the guys that they're bringing back have experience, including Robert Congle, who sat out last season as a transfer for Texas A&M, but started 12 games as a freshman at A&M in the SEC. So Arizona's got some decent experience in the line. It's thin, but you know,
like, it's the first game.
You feel pretty good about the yeah. I mean, everybody's cleared to play in the first game, right? So
now you mentioned Hawaii's defense being, you know, sub 100. Were they particularly bad at one aspect and not at the other, or were they just consistently terrible on both sides of like the rushing and passing schemes?
Yeah, I mean, like, so they weren't. To give you an example, like from the Mountain West, like Air Force's defense last season was number 48 against the run, but 129 against the pass. Yeah. Hawaii wasn't that extreme of a split, but they were 119 against the run and 107 against the pass. So they were susceptible to either running or throwing the ball, but really, like, they struggled a bit more containing run plays, which is not necessarily where you want to be against J.J. Taylor and Khalil Tate.
Before we started recording, you had talked about Hawaii's defense possibly being as bad as Oregon State's defense last year. I'm curious how far the drop-off was between Hawaii and Oregon State in 2018. I don't know if you have those numbers up, but was it because like sometimes you'll have a discrepancy, right? One team's 110 and one team's 130, but the drop-off between 110 and 130 is like just falling off a cliff. Was that the same thing here, or I'm just kind of curious what do you call that, the delta, or who knows?
The delta is actually quite large between Hawaii and Oregon State. So Oregon State was nearly twice as bad as Hawaii's defense.
Oh my gosh, that's so bad.
I mean, and I say that as like, I mean, like even like zero, like if you were zero to zero out for defense, so it's like negatively, like defense is negatively scaled because you're preventing points, right? But yeah, like Oregon State's defense was horrendous last season. But I mean, if you look across like the types of defenses that were in Hawaii's range last season, I mean, you have Rice, you have Navy. So interestingly, like if you remember Houston's defense that kind of whooped Arizona early on in the season, they totally fell off the map by the end of the season. And Ed Oliver, of course, wasn't even playing anymore. So they finished quite badly. Illinois' defense, UNLV. There's a lot of very, very bad defenses down here. There's not really anybody else that was on Arizona's schedule down here. I mean, the second worst Arizona, like the team that Arizona actually faced last season that had a defense other than Oregon State would be like UCLA, who finished 90. Okay. And Arizona had a decent game against them with, you know, Rhett Rodriguez, you know, like
fact.
I think a lot of people in this game, there's a lot of focus on Cole McDonald. He's an exciting player. He's fun to watch. I think a lot of people, if they saw Hawaii, saw that shootout that they had with Colorado State last season. And so they tend to remember that. But this Hawaii team, like this against this Arizona defense, like if Arizona's scoring points and they should be able to against this defense, then like Arizona's going to have a lot of field to try to force Hawaii off, right? Like Hawaii's going to have to drive the length of the field a lot of the times.
Yeah, well, let's talk some matchups. Arizona's run defense hasn't been great. They are breaking in two defensive tackles, right? They lost the guy to the NFL in the seventh round, whose name escapes me right now, and Derek Bowles. So yep. They are, and again, Arizona has just released their depth chart. So this is perfect. So they bring in Trevin Mason, a 310 JUCO transfer, and Miles Tapasoa, a 325 pound JUCO transfer. So trying to fill those holes quickly. And there seems to be a little bit of depth there, right? So Fenton Connolly is a redshirt senior who had seen the field fairly often as an Arizona tackle, and he got beat out by the JUCOs. And I think that's a good thing because Fenton Connolly is serviceable, but Fenton Connolly isn't going to be somebody that's going to light the world on fire. So it is nice to see those two bigger guys, if you're an Arizona fan, make that jump. On the ends, too, you have a player like J.B. Brown, who is somebody that Arizona's coaching staff has been fairly high on. There was even talks of moving him into the center into some certain packages, which I'm a little bit hesitant about, but that's fine. You know, I'm sure, like, you know, win in Rome. And then Jalen Harris, who projects to be a player that could be an NFL player. He's got the size, he's got the length, he's got the body. And again, both of those players beat out Kylan Wilborn, who was a freshman All-American last year. So there is some depth, it seems, finally, Rob, at the defensive line, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, the really exciting thing, I think, if you're an Arizona fan, is that Tapasoa and Mason ended up getting in good enough shape that they're going to play. And that they turned out to be what the coaching staff, I mean, at least I hope that they expected, because you don't bring in JUCOs to sit the bench. Like, you need JUCO players to come in and fill needs now. So if they had come in and had not ended up on the top of the depth chart, like, you'd really be concerned because, you know, if it, like you said, like, Fenton Connolly's fine. Like, we've seen a lot of Fenton Connolly, you know, not just starts wise, but like filling in. You don't necessarily want to have, you know, 12 games of Fenton Connolly out there. And then, like, even behind Mason, like, Mikey Irving is a guy that they moved to offensive line last season because they were so shorthanded. And they feel comfortable enough about their offensive line depth, I think, that they moved him back. And people have really been raving about him in camp, too. So there is some good depth at Arizona on the defensive line for maybe the first time, especially like you said, like Kylan Wilborn, who was a bit injured. I mean, 2 years ago, freshman All-American, he was injured a bit last season. And Jalen Harris emerged. If Arizona can get any regular pressure, you know, out of this line, as well as being able to sort of sandwich the run a little bit, like that's a huge win. Like, these guys don't have to be, you know, they don't have to be like Auburn's defensive line for this to be an improvement. This to be an improvement for Arizona. I mean, I think expectations are still low. Like, and I, like, if we sound like we're gushing about these players that are not likely to make any sort of all conference team, it's probably because, like, as we know, like, the bar has been so low for Arizona's defensive line for so long.
Yeah, this gives a little bit of hope, and particularly against a Hawaii team where really the only running back you're going to have to worry about is the quarterback. That's going to be the biggest threat.
Yeah.
The other guys, really, I mean, they're averaging 4 yards a carry. And again, both of them had about 500 yards total on the season. So nothing really, nothing that sparks worry if you're an Arizona fan. And then moving back a level too, even on that side, you have Colin Schooler, who should have been all Pac-12. I mean, that guy had like 127 tackles, 22 tackles for a loss. Like, he is a legit player in the Pac-12, and he's one of the better linebackers in the conference. And then one thing that stood out for me, Rob, is that Tony Fields, who was the number two, these were two freshmen that played and have been playing side by side. He's been undersized a bit. He's listed at 6'1", and I'm not sure about that. He's got the
tall cleats on.
Yeah, there you go. But he's listed at the will spot as an either or with Anthony Pandy, who is a player that a lot of Arizona fans were intrigued by, because there'd been some rumblings about him being fairly solid in the last couple of years. So it looks like Pandy has gotten to a point where he's challenging Tony Fields, and that's probably a good thing if you're an Arizona fan, because Pandy has a little bit more size, not a ton more. But Fields was a serviceable linebacker who is in the right spot a lot of times. He also was a freshman All-American. But like you mentioned, Rob, it's easier to be a freshman All-American than an actual All-American, you know, as you move forward, just because not a lot of freshmen are getting the playing time.
Yeah. Well, and these guys, I mean, on that defense 2 years ago, they racked up Tony Fields and Collin Schooler, cleaned up a lot of tackles because the defensive line was terrible, right? Like they were true freshmen starting, and they each had something like 120, 130 tackles or something absurd like that. So they've been good. I mean, like in Fields was a little banged up a little bit last year, didn't have, you know, the kind of year that Schooler had. But the emergence of Pandy is good. And I think the coaching staff also feels pretty good about Day-Day Coleman there too. But they do need to be able to rotate Schooler and Fields. I mean, they're not, in this Hawaii game, I don't think that they're going to have a problem like rotating, because I don't know that you're going to have both linebackers on the field a ton. Because Hawaii is going to be in four wides, like probably 90% of the game. And that's good. I mean, like, if you move to like the secondary, like you actually feel decent about, we were there in Houston last year when, you know, the injury started happening to the Arizona secondary too. And you look out and all of a sudden you're like, man, Houston just took three deep shots in a row. What's going on? Oh, we have a walk, you know, there's a walk on, you know, playing, and Houston's like, hey, let's take some shots. You're not going to have that this year with this Arizona defense. Like there's depth.
Yeah. And let's get into that, because I think that's the biggest battle is the one thing with Arizona secondary is it has been some interesting names with not a lot of production over the last 4 years. So, you know, last year, yes, there were injury problems, but the last couple of years, that hasn't necessarily been the case. I mean, every team has injury problems. It's just the depth that tends to be the issue. And you know, Jace Whitaker returns, who is Arizona's premier cornerback. So like you mentioned, that will fill in for a good spot. So you have him and Lorenzo Burns, who are both experienced guys, with Christian Roland Wallace, who's a true freshman that made a lot of noise in camp. I'm never super enthused when you have a true freshman starting at corner, but he's not. He's the second guy. And I would assume that you'd bring in somebody like Samari Springs to be that third cornerback if you need to, and he was a transfer over from the University of Richmond. And then you have the three safeties in Christian Young, Scotty Young, and Tristan Cooper. So Rob, where did Arizona's secondary, where did their pass defense grade out last year?
So it wasn't great. Arizona's pass defense last season, they were a little better against the run than they were against the pass. They were 75 against the run and 92 against the pass. And I mean, some of that is very much the secondary, right? And the fact that they had the injuries. But the other part is I mean, they really still struggle to get pressure on the quarterback. And some of that's on the defensive line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. One of the things that I noticed with Hawaii's roster is they have a very Arizona wide receiving core under Rich Rodriguez's like regime. There's really nobody over 6 foot that will be out there on the field. So in Arizona's corners aren't that big. That's the one thing I was like, ooh. And then I realized, oh yeah, like our corners are pretty small. But there's not that big giant threat really. It's a lot of smaller, faster guys. But some players that have been very productive. I think one of the things to keep a lookout for is Cedric Bird. He's 5'9", 170, but he caught almost 80 balls last year for almost 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. JoJo Ward is another wide receiver that'll be out there. He's 175 pounds and caught for 865 yards and 9 touchdowns. So between those guys, it's almost 2,000 yards and almost 20 touchdowns. Like I mentioned, Melaquise Stovall, who was a really blue chip player that was recruited by Sonny Dykes that didn't work out at Cal. He's now at Hawaii and can play this year. And then I think it's Kamoku Noah. All that said, they're going to have three pretty solid wide receivers, but all of them are fairly smaller up.
Yeah, and the run, part of the premise of the run and shoot is you don't necessarily have to have like a big, you know, X wide receiver out there, because it's the system is designed where everything's an option route, and guys are sort of constantly looking for space, you know. And so the quarterback, you do have to be a pretty smart quarterback in this system, because you and the receivers need to be making the same reads on the defense, you know, in real time. But the flip side of that is, like, if you are making the reads in real time correctly, then like the receivers should actually be sitting in space and not having to go up and beat guys for balls.
Oh, that's a good point. Anything else on Hawaii's offense versus Arizona's defense?
No, I mean, like, this should be a good matchup to see where Arizona's pass rush really is. I mean, like, if you want to get a sense of where they are, like, Arizona needs to come out of this game with a couple sacks and some pressures. Like, it can't just be, you know, Cole McDonald having time back there. If that is the case, then this Arizona defense could be in a lot of trouble all season.
I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot about that. So Hawaii finished 129th out of 130 teams in sacks given up, with 46 last year. And a lot of people are like, oh, they returned their offensive line. They do, but an offensive line.
I mean, they threw a lot. I mean, too, like, there were a lot of opportunities to get sacked, but yeah.
Tackles for a loss, 77th in the country with 80. So they were giving up a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage. Let's move to Arizona's offense, Rob. What do people that are watching week zero have to expect from this Arizona team?
I mean, it's a question that has to be on everyone. I mean, everyone's mind, right, is how often does Khalil Tate run the football? I mean, I think that, like, how that shakes out, I think, is still an important question, because I think a lot of folks came in last season, and even before Khalil Tate was injured, you know, he didn't run much in that BYU game. And then he made some poor passing decisions in that game. And so, you know, Arizona came back the next week, and it was like there was a lot of talk about, like, we're going to be committed to the run against Houston, and then he was injured. So, like, it sort of all went out the window then. Where Arizona sort of sits, you know, with Tate rushing the football, he is the most explosive runner in college football when he takes off. Like, there's just no one like him. And people, I think, forget what 2017 was like and how high above, you know, where they were trending Arizona finished because of Tate running the football. So it is going to be like in prior Mazzoni offenses, his quarterbacks, if they're mobile, have run around 12 times a game. I mean, and I think that's a good number for Tate. So, you know, how often does Tate run in this, you know, take off and run in this Hawaii game? But then your next question, I think Pac-12 fans know who J.J. Taylor is. I don't know that the offensive line is going to get severely tested in this game by Hawaii. So then it's just a question of the wide receivers. Like, if you want to look out and see, you know, like, there's going to be a lot of new faces for Arizona catching the ball. You know, Cedric Peterson's really the only returner, and I think he was like the fifth wide receiver last season.
Yeah.
So you've got some young guys. You know, you've got Drew Dixon, Brian Castile. You've got a true freshman, Booby Curry, you know, who is the four-star heralded, you know, wide receiver coming in this class for Arizona. And, like, these guys are you're gonna get to see what it's like, because if that's not working, like, you know, if the wide receivers are not, you know, and Tate aren't on the same page, like, Arizona could again be in trouble and really maybe have to rely on Tate running the football maybe more than 12 times a game.
And hope springs eternal in the offseason. So almost every one of these wide receivers, an Arizona fan will say, oh, yeah, but, right? So Brian Castile is, yes, he didn't play last year. He's a new face, but he was a player that this coaching staff really liked in camp, and then he got hurt, so he wasn't able to play last year. They threw a red shirt on him, right? Jamari Joyner, yep. who is also fighting for that slot spot as between Castile and Joyner, was a quarterback last year. And a lot of people thought, you might be a better wide receiver than quarterback. And lo and behold, he makes the shift once Grant Cannell comes to Arizona, just because there really wasn't a spot for him at that position. And some pretty good reports of his play at a camp. Drew Dixon didn't play last year, but he was one of the highest rated recruits to come out of the Rich Rodriguez system. Jalen Curry was one of the highest rated recruits to come under Kevin Sumlin's class this year. Cedric Peterson, like you mentioned, is probably the only proven commodity, and that is a pretty used proven with air quotes. But again, some really interesting players. But you're right, Rob. If they don't get it together, then oh my goodness, then there is definitely going to be some issues here. I mean,
it's like there's some interesting, like if you look at this roster though, like one of the things, like Mazzoni sometimes splits his tight end out, and so you get a four wide look but with a tight end, really. Zach Williams, the backup tight end, is a converted wide receiver and really has a really big receiver body. And Castile, the Arizona slot receivers, Castile and Joyner, they're both at least 6 feet tall. Not every Arizona receiver is going to be 5'8" this year. And Arizona, I think, is looking to create some matchup mismatches out there that they haven't necessarily tried to create in the past. So I think it's going to be an interesting group, but it's definitely a group that when you look at this Arizona team, you're kind of excited that they don't have to play a good defense until probably Washington. It's nice to get to start out the season with Hawaii and then NAU and Texas Tech. Like, they should be able to get their feet wet and try to get on the same page as the QB.
Yeah, and I want to talk about a few more Hawaii players, but let's do so after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. We're talking week zero, Arizona versus Hawaii. And if you're new to the podcast, we will not take a half hour dive into every Pac-12 game as we move into the season. This just happens to be the only Pac-12 game going on. So we want to do a little bit more, give it a little bit more attention. So, hey, just a couple players to keep a lookout for in regards to Hawaii's defense and some stats. So they recorded 30 sacks last year, which was 48th in the country, 70 tackles for a loss, 78th in the country. So nothing crazy out there. But there is a player, number 96, Kaimana Padello, who is 6'2", 225. He's a defensive lineman. He had 13.5 tackles for a loss, 7 quarterback hurries, and caused some havoc in the backfield. So just keep a lookout for him. He's not huge. He's going to be on the edge likely, but he's number 96 and somebody to keep an eye out for. And then just a really great name, number 4, and also a good player. Number 4 is a cornerback. His name is Ross Jesterman Ferris. And he's one of the better defensive players on Hawaii. He's their corner, 45 tackles, 11 pass breakups last year. So they'll probably put him on whoever is causing Hawaii the most fits on the ends over there with the Arizona's wide receivers. Rob, anything else we should mention?
No, I mean, Hawaii returns a ton of production, but both the regular projection model and even the modified projection model don't really like this Hawaii defense to improve very much. Their recruiting's not been great, like I said. So they're not projected to make a big jump, even with everybody they're bringing back. Sometimes it's not great to bring back players if they weren't that good.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody says that.
I mean, yeah, like I specifically create a different kind of variable in the projection model where I multiply your returning production by your ranking from the prior year, to try to get the interaction effect of it. Cause like it matters, like just bringing back, oh, we're bringing back a bunch of players. Like if they weren't any good.
That's the Phil Steele special, man. This team returns X stars. I'm like, oh man, that team sucked last year. They sucked.
I think a lot of people can talk themselves into with this Hawaii defense. Like they return a ton of starters and a lot of the backups. Like it's kind of a young defense-ish in that sense.
So the spread is 11. It sounds like you're taking Arizona.
I'm going to take Arizona. I think that this Hawaii, I don't think the special teams are going to be any better for Hawaii. I think the defense is still going to be a bit of a swinging gate, and that puts you in a hole. I mean, as fans of Pac-12 teams that don't have good defenses know, if you're always having to go 75 yards once your offense gets the ball, that's a tough order. Like you really have to be efficient, and you know, Hawaii's not always been that level of efficient. So, like I think Arizona should win by 2 scores.
All right.